Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen. God made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, as the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And as we baptize and teach, we do so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Trinity Sunday and Father's Day. How excellent that these go together this week. Because we understand what an earthly father is because of our knowledge of the Heavenly Father. And in fact, being an earthly father is to be modeled upon our Heavenly Father. But how do we know who the Heavenly Father is? Because the Son, Jesus Christ, has revealed him to us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have faith in the triune God. It is fitting that once a year we focus on the Holy Trinity, the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Now, today is the culmination of the festival half of the church year. From Easter, Christ's resurrection, his appearance for 40 days, to his ascension into heaven, then 10 days later, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which we celebrated Pentecost last week, and now Trinity Sunday, focusing on who God is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And for the rest of the summer and the fall, it will be the non-festival half of the year, the Sundays after Pentecost, all the way till Thanksgiving, as we look at Jesus' words and miracles. On this Father's Day, as we respect and honor the responsibility of Christian fathers, let us consider the Holy Trinity. As we look at these three texts today, the work of Jesus in the giving of the Great Commission, the work of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, and God the Father in Genesis in creation. Why do we confess the Athanasian Creed once a year? Because it is named after the great pastor and bishop, Athanasius, who held forth for us the orthodox faith of confessing who God truly is in the Trinity. Athanasius was a pastor, the bishop of Alexandria, the 20th bishop of Alexandria, lived from 296 to 373 AD. When he was 29 years old, at the First Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, before the Emperor Constantine, this young pastor held forth the deity of Christ, who is both true God and true man in one person, against the heretic pastor named Arius. You see, Arius was teaching that there was a time that Jesus didn't exist, and God created Jesus as his first and greatest creature, but that he was not true God along with the Father. This, of course, is heresy. Jesus is God along with the Father and the Holy Spirit in eternity without beginning and without ending. And Athanasius stood against the heretic Arius. Arius even had his people singing in their churches that there was a time when Jesus was not, which of course is heresy. And Athanasius spoke out boldly in the faith that we have affirmed in this creed, that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, each of them are God, but one God in three distinct persons. Athanasius lived to be 77 years old. He went through five exiles. Six times he had to flee for his life. He ought to be one of the great heroes for all of us. Google his name on the internet and read about this great man, Athanasius. And as we have confessed the faith in this Athanasian Creed, by the way, of course, every time we said the Catholic faith, we didn't mean Roman Catholic, we meant the universal Christian faith, that this is the truth of the Trinity that must be proclaimed from generation to generation. And do you know why that's so important? Did you know that every single one of the cults, whether it be Islam or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, All of them deny the deity of Christ. They do not believe that Jesus is God in human flesh. People deny that and then begin to create their own religions. But the Christian faith proclaims there is only one God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. And what is so beautiful about this? This is not some arcane doctrine. This is our life. When I was baptized, and when you were baptized, the name of the triune God was placed upon you. The Father created you. The Son died for you, and the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart. This is the stuff of the Christian life. And so as we joyfully proclaim the Holy Trinity today, let's briefly look at the work of all three persons in this way. First, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Great Commission in Matthew 28, then the love of God the Father in creation in Genesis, and then the communion of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Let's first consider the work of the Son, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' Great Commission in Matthew 28, which he spoke sometime between his resurrection and his ascension, he took 11 disciples to a mountain in Galilee. Judas had hanged himself, and at that mountain to which he had directed them, they saw him, and they worshipped him. Some doubted, but nonetheless, it was the real Jesus who was raised. He came and said to them what we call the Great Commission, which actually has seven parts to it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ comes to us when he says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has all authority. He has ascended to the right hand of God as our intercessor. All knees shall bow to him when he comes again in glory. Go, therefore. This phrase has been misused, I think, to get people to think that you can't do your work of making disciples and helping with that work where you're at. You've got to go somewhere else. So leave here and go somewhere else. A better translation is, as you are going, meaning in your vocation and calling as man, woman, husband, wife, child, employer, employee, as you are going, all of us together, make disciples of all nations. Disciples are those who follow Christ as Master and Lord. He alone is Lord, and who follow him. And it's to be made of all nations. Thus, at Pentecost, the gospel is going out into all these different languages. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon all races of mankind. We are to make disciples of all people, of all colors of skin, of all languages and nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You notice it's in the name, singular. The one name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, into whom we baptize people with water and word. Christians are those who have been brought to baptism, either as an infant or a child or later on in life, and your name was personally connected to the triune name of God when you were baptized. I hope you still have your baptismal certificate and you know where that is and can see the day of your own baptism. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teaching. That's what the church is all about. That's why we have Sunday school and vacation Bible school and Bible classes for you and your family. The only way you can know Jesus' word is to be taught to observe what he has commanded. You must know what he has commanded. And behold, he says, I am with you. Jesus is that I am who I am, who is with you wherever you go to the end of the age, which means till his glorious return. The reason that we walk as one family here in the ministries here of our church with all the things we said before that we do as a church, carrying out the Great Commission through preaching and teaching, all the boards of this congregation of which many of you are to be elected soon, serve the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission. The reason we have a school and a childcare and our Sunshine Station, and the reason we have a ministry on the campus and English as a second language, is we are trying to do what Christ has called us to do, to carry out the Great Commission to little children and to those of all ages. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ being proclaimed by us to the people we meet each and every day. The second person of the Trinity, Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, may we always see our lives in the context of the Great Commission. How will Jesus use me to assist in making disciples of all nations? Secondly, we look at the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, the love of God the Father. Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God the Father created the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And that word through which he created everything is the word made flesh, Jesus. As explained in John chapter 1, he was in the beginning with God. All things were created through him. God the Father created you. He created everything ex nihilo, out of nothing, by speaking it into existence. The Bible does not sanction any form whatsoever of evolution. Evolution is not science. The theory of evolution is a religion. It's speaking about the origins of where things came from. Science is looking at how things work. Don't ever let anyone tell you that evolution is science. It's not. Evolutionary theory is a religion. They believe that there was no God, and out of nothing there was a Big Bang, and everything evolved over billions of years. The Bible does not teach that nor allow that. The Bible teaches that God, by himself, simply spoke everything into existence. Sure, it had the appearance of age, but he spoke it into existence, and it exists. On these 6 days, he made light and water and the dry ground and the celestial lights of the sun, the moon, and the stars, the fish and the birds, the land animals. He created them all by his word. You notice how it says everything according to their kinds. They would be fruitful and multiply. Amphibians don't become reptiles that become mammals that become human beings. No, how absurd. Everything is created according to its kind by God himself. So young people, you teenagers in high school, or when you're in college, when the professor or teacher tells you that you evolved, you don't have to accept that. You do not have to believe that. That's a religious statement your teacher is making. You can stand up in class and say, professor, teacher, I don't believe that. I believe God created the heavens and the earth by his word in 6 days and spoke it all into existence. That is what the Bible teaches. And that's the beauty of this created world made by God. Now, it's true that when the epitome of creation came, it was time to create man and woman, and later they would sin and bring rebellion into this world. But on the 6th day, when God said, let us make man in our image, man being male and female, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, to have dominion over all creation. Here you have the mystery of the Trinity. Between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are saying, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man, which means male and female, in our image and in our likeness. And he created Adam and Eve, and it was very good. And then on the 7th day, God rested from all the work that he had done, and he blessed the Sabbath. Sabbath means Shabbat, which means rest. If you wonder why it is that Christians don't normally worship on Saturday, in the New Testament church, the Christians began to worship on the 1st day of the week, on Sunday, in honor of the Lord's resurrection. this day in which we rest in His Word and Sacrament, this blessed rest and Sabbath, is what we do on Sunday as we gather around His Word and Sacrament. And it's true that when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and evil and death came into the world, it was then through the tree of the cross where Christ was crucified for us, so that one day we can eat from the tree of life in paradise and in heaven. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father who created you and your children, and finally the communion of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, Peter's sermon at Pentecost, he speaks about Jesus of Nazareth. You see, the work of the Holy Spirit is to point us to Jesus. You know the Holy Spirit's working when people are talking about Jesus. Jesus, who with mighty works and wonders and signs done before the people, by God's divine and definite plan and foreknowledge, was crucified by the hands of lawless men. But God raised Him on the third day from the dead. And David foretold this in the Psalms. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. You will fill us with gladness in His presence. Of the royal line of David, Christ is the Messiah for all time. And guess what? He's David's son. And He's David's Lord. He is David's Lord, true God. He is David's son, true man. As He was raised and ascended to the right hand of God, He's poured out the promised Holy Spirit so that you know that this crucified Jesus is Lord and Christ, who has died in your place, taken all of your sins away, covered you with His righteousness, so that holy before Him, we are a good tree that bears good fruit to the glory of His name. We are forgiven people who glorify God with our lives. So in conclusion, in baptism, as I said before, you were united to the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the water and word of baptism. You're about to receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, uniting you to the triune God. These means of grace that come to you, preaching, teaching, baptism, absolution, and Holy Communion, make God not far away, but as close as the water and the bread and the wine, the Lord, the Creator, the Redeemer, and Sanctifier. In every day and moment of your life, He is with you. And on Father's Day, all of you dads, remember, your work is to model the Heavenly Father to your wife and to your children. It is your responsibility as the spiritual head of your house to see that your children are at church and Sunday school and they know the Word of God. It's not enough for dads just to provide financially for their families. They must model the love of Christ and model the Heavenly Father to their families. We thank the Lord for you, earthly dads, and we know and pray that you will pray for God's guidance so that you can live up to your responsibility as man in your house to model the Heavenly Father as an earthly father to your family. God grant on this Holy Trinity Sunday, as we thank God for our earthly fathers, that we know who our Heavenly Father is, the Holy Trinity. To Him alone, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all glory forever and ever. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guard our hearts and minds and faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.